I'm so excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, and welcome to the penultimate episode of Normal Gossip. Penultimate means second to last, so bad news. The episode next week is the last one of the season, but good news, you have this one, and you have the one next week, so incredible. We love it. I'm Kelsey McKinney, and in each episode of this podcast, we're going to bring you an anonymous morsel of gossip from the real world. I am so excited to have with me today two special guests. Sally Tamarkin has been an editor and writer since 2014. Before that, they were a community organizer. They love playing tabletop role-playing games and hanging out with their best friend, Television. You can find her online on Twitter, at Sally T, and her website is at sally.gay. Caroline Moss is also here. Caroline has been the host of Gee Thanks Just Bought It, a podcast about the things we buy and love since 2019. She's the author of Hey Ladies and the Work It Kids book series and an alumni of many 2010s media outlets. You can find her on Instagram at gthanksjustboughtitpod. Caroline and Sally, welcome to the pod. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Thrilled. We're excited to be here.
How are you both doing? Tell me about your day.
I mean, I'm doing great. I will say there is an ice cream truck that's been parked on my block, perhaps right outside my window, it feels and sounds like, for a while. So I apologize in advance if you're hearing a jingle nonstop forever in your brain.
What level of sanity are you currently at? Like, is it trickling away or?
You know the emoji with like the spirals for eyes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm that currently.
Okay. I'm worried about that. Caroline, do you also have an ice cream truck outside your house?
No, but my day is going great because early this morning I sent an ice cream truck to Sally's house just to sit outside and idle for a few hours. So I'm glad to know I'm getting my money's worth.
She's cheating. Do you both want to start me off with the classic question and tell me what your relationship with gossip is?
Yeah, I personally love it.
Surprise.
You know, my senior year of high school, I'll have you know, 2005, I was voted biggest drama queen, and that was different than most theatrical, and I want everyone to just understand that this had nothing to do with being a theater kid, which I was, but I think it was my predilection for gossip that awarded me biggest drama queen, but they took it away from me because they were like, this feels mean. It feels like a mean one, and we're not going to do
it. They had
and
already
Max
not.
And I were like pissed. We were like,
they had already named
but
they, you,
but we were like, it's not mean. Yeah, like we were. It was like we like everyone voted, and we got the votes, and it was like Max and I were like, don't take it away. It's not mean. And they were like, no, this is very mean to you. And we were like, it's not mean. We want it. We want this.
What are the gossipiest communities that you've each been a part of?
Oh, media. Like all of media. New York media.
It's not even a question for you.
I would say, yeah, for sure. Media. Media in like an IRL experience, especially when I lived in New York and was a little younger. There is one community online that I'm a part of. I've talked about a little bit about NG things a long time ago, but I don't want to give away the Facebook group. But if you message me privately, I will direct you to it. There is a Facebook group for people who identify as women who love Bath and Body Works.
Okay.
And there's a lot of fighting. And it's like thousands and thousands of women.
What are they fighting about?
oh, what aren't they fighting about? Like, I would say the biggest like source, if you want to get some engagement, if you're looking for an argument, if you just need that dopamine hit of seeing comment after comment, it's the people who show up on Candle Day. Bath and Body Works does this thing called Candle Day, where their 3-wick candles are like $11.95 instead of $24.95, and people
the purge. Bath and Body Works, the purge.
Yeah, absolutely. And people have their favorites, and there's no limit to how many you can buy. And so people will post their hauls, and then it starts fights in the comments about, like, you know, we live in a society, and also, like, you know, there wasn't a rule. I can get 60 candles. And then the other thing about that community that I love, that's not necessarily gossip, but I do go there for all of the information I, like, bring to parties. So I guess for me it's gossip, is that there is some sort of people don't seem to burn the candles. It's more like collections. So they have, like, storage units full of unburned candles. Imagine walking into a Bath and Body Works for five minutes and smelling.
But it would smell so good.
Sally, one candle in a room smells good. Like, it's 80 true. Different scented candles shoved in a closet. No, but like, your brain, you have a storage explode. Unit.
It's full of Bath and Body Works candles.
Oh no, Sally's gonna about to admit down. How many candles they have on
how many candles you have.
No, I'm just saying, like, you have a storage unit full, it burns down, and you open your window in the morning and you get that freesia and juniper breeze just wafting in. What's not to like?
There's also, like, aspects of that group. They've started sort of doing, like, a weird MLM inside of the candle group where you like you pay. I mean, look, I always want to get in there and be like, ladies, when someone asks you to PayPal them to enter, you know what I mean? This is not a raffle, but it's definitely one of the, like, classic MLMs. It's like you find 20 people to enter for $10.
Sure.
And then whoever wins at the top, like, wins this whole thing. And it's like it's a separate group from the candle group, but you can only get there through the candle group. It's like that bar in Manhattan with the hot dogs. Yeah. Seriously, I like Sarah Koenig, like, call me. Honestly, no. Kelsey, this should be like a
spinoff
this
of Normal Gossip. Like, normal Gossip candles. Investigations.
Normal Candles.
The second candle group is really C.
Well, the second candle group you can only get into if they call it like get active, stay active. So you have to sort of, like, commit a level of personal engagement in the original candle group to be invited into the group where you can, like, win. And I do a big air quote Chanel bags. So it's a lot, but I'm obsessed with it. And that's media is my favorite IRL community of gossip and general. And then the Bath and Body Works candle group is my online community. My two.
I want to do like a 21 Jump Street thing where we get into the one of us goes into the group and just goes undercover and just try to figure out, you know, just bring them down from the inside kind of a thing.
I think that's a great idea.
Sally, truly, you guys, you're not the first people to think of it. Like, so many people, there's so many people I've heard, because I spent a lot of time thinking about this group. There's so many people who've tried and they get caught and they get, like, banned immediately. So, like, I won't even tell. I'm ready to call the feds on the person who leads that second MLM group, though, because there is something really financially
unstable.
Unstable happening.
Listen,
yeah.
We are always saying on this show to be aware and be careful around Facebook groups. They are dangerous places. And candles, because only you can prevent forest
fires.
Two
really good safety tips.
Okay, last question, and then we will do the story. Because both of you talk about products often and, like, purchasing products, I would like to talk about the relationship between, like, word of mouth and gossip, right? So hearing, like, everyone's using this, or every celebrity is getting, you know, eye bag filler or whatever it is, right? The kind of, like, thin line between gossip and word of mouth, and how that plays into, like, choosing what you buy and how you interact in the world.
Ooh.
I mean, that's sort of why I started G Thanks Just Bought It. And I know we didn't mention it at the top of the show, but Sally now co-hosts the podcast arm of G Thanks Just Bought It with me, but it's also a Facebook group and it's an Instagram group and Instagram community. You know, it kind of started because it's like you really, like, don't know who to trust. And I wanted to build a community of people that, you know, it's not necessarily wire. Like, G Thanks isn't really about the wire, like, wire cutter. Like, I'm not looking for the best of anything, but I am kind of looking for a place where people can be like, a great example of this is, like, there was a big sort of conversation about strollers, like, which is the best? And then the answer was that, like, there is no best stroller. But I can tell you, if you live in a city and using the stroller as your while you're walking is your, like, number one way of transportation, this stroller is much better on pivoting than the other one. This one packs up and fits in the car better. And that might be more important to you. And you get kind of reviews from real people who are like, hey, this is my life. If this sounds like you, this is the thing that worked for me. Rather than being like, we have this, like, weird rubric that no one really totally understands. But, like, this is the best. And then you're like, I don't know what that means. Or you kind of feel duped when you get it. And you're like, this wasn't the best for me at all. A thing that also I really try to strive at G-Things and Sally too, just because we do the show together now, is that, like, there's so many people that sometimes DM and they're like, oh, I love that, like, the suitcase you're talking about, but I love my suitcase. So should I still get this one? I'm like, no. You love the thing you have. I'm like, this is for the people who don't love the thing they have or don't have the thing and need the thing. But, like, the amount of people who are like, I'm already totally 100% fulfilled by this thing. Do I need to replace it with this thing? I'm like, oh my God, no.
No.
Literally never.
That's what Don
Literally
Draper never. Always talked
and
about.
And don't ask me again.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Don Draper was always saying that. but a purchase isn't going to match up to, like, the aesthetic that is also presented sort of as the context to that purchase.
Yes.
It's
yes.
like, oh, this thing looks amazing in your home because your home looks amazing because your home is beautiful because yes. there's lots of other expensive things in your home. Like, that's why this thing looks so great, because it's the backdrop of it is so, so nice. Yeah. So it's on the consumer, I think, to be a little bit more conscious. But I also think it's like, yeah, trust the experts, but also know that,
you know what's best. Yeah. Are you ready? You want to do a gossip?
Let's do a gossip.
I'm so ready.
Let's do one gossip as a treat.
And gossip.
Normal Gossip is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide you options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, it's allergy season outside, which is a really terrible time of year because your face becomes clogged with allergies and you feel really bad. And for me, because I have the worst ears on earth known to men, that means that my ears are also feeling very weird and very full, which is bad and I hate it. So, you know, I was like, okay, I need to go to see the ear, nose, and throat doctor because he can help me fix my problems. But I don't have one anymore. So I went on ZocDoc to find a new ENT that could help me with my ear being super full and sounding terrible. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doctor you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for the ones who take your insurance, love that, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/gossip and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/gossip. ZocDoc.com/gossip.
It is a morning in July. The sun is out. The air is hot. We are packing a car. We're checking our little list for the things that we need. We're picking out the tunes on our phone. We're, like, doing the Google Maps, right? Our friend of a friend, we're going to call her Rose, and her fiance are leaving the city late. She's doing the checklist on her phone, and when she's looking at it, it's, like, already past the time that they're supposed to be gone.
Stressful. Yeah.
By the time the car is on the road, it's an hour after they wanted to leave. And she texts her family and is like, Sally's already panicking.
I'm breathing into my
I'm literally already mad. I'm literally already mad at her partner. So, okay, continue.
She texts her family and is like, we're on our way. But they're not really on their way because they are in one of those cities that's not directly next to a highway. So it takes, like, forever to get out of the city and onto the highway. How are we feeling currently? You both look terrified.
Like, I'm sweating. No, I'm feeling no. My answer is no. This, I feel horrible.
I feel personally attacked. This is so stressful. This is so stressful. And the amount of work I've done on myself to not be someone who falls apart when travel plans get like messed up.
It leaving has amounted late out to of nothing. A city?
Yeah, I can't. I'm just,
are you I'm kidding? Sweating. Leaving late out of a city that's not on a highway when there's like only like kind of like a, only a few.
Also, you said it's late in the day, so there, I'm picturing rush hour traffic. Also, it's hot because it's July.
Yeah. Oh my god,
it's a nightmare. Rose is stressed because they're going upstate. They're going like to the woods, right? And they're not just going upstate for the weekend with her family. They're going upstate for her wedding,
Rose's wedding,
Rose's wedding.
Wow.
Wait, who is Rose traveling?
Her fiance.
Oh, that wedding is not happening.
They have – Rose is like, I have a lot to do, right? Like, Rose is like, the rehearsal is tonight. I haven't done my nails. Yeah. My, like, makeup is not done. And we are an hour late. And she's comforting herself by being like, it's fine. It's fine. We're going to get there.
I need to be on bed rest. Because I know if this isn't part of the story, that's okay. But I'm curious about what the fiance is saying or doing throughout this.
So the fiance is not super important to this entire story, but the fiance is like chill and supportive, right? The fiance is like, it's fine. It's our weekend.
Okay.
Like, we'll get there when we get there.
Okay, but like, is it the fiance's fault that they're late? Because there could be nothing worse to me than the fiance being like, no, it's fine. I'm like, it's actually not fine. It's actually your fault.
Rose is not as stressed as the two of them.
Okay, okay, okay. That's helpful. That's like, helpful context.
Rose
is part
of the problem.
Right, okay.
Okay. They're on the interstate. 5 million years on the interstate, right? Because we've left late. Now we're in bumper-to-bumper traffic. It takes forever. They get off the interstate. They have to go on one of those weavy highways that's like two lanes, right? People are always turning off. This also takes forever. Finally, by the time they turn into the gravel drive, like where this big house that they've rented for the weekend is, they're like 3 hours later than they're supposed to be. Don't vomit. It's going to be fine.
Okay.
There are like 15 people staying in the house for this wedding weekend. We are not going to learn all of their names because that is a lot of people. The only people you need to know are Rose's nuclear family, okay? Her brother, Kurt. His wife, Heather, is also Rose's maid of honor.
Rose's brother's wife is Rose's maid of honor. Okay.
Yes. Very close her with sister-in-law. Her sister-in-law. Exactly. And her sister-in-law is Heather. And then their dad is there, Kurt and Rose's dad. And dad's wife, Deb.
Okay, what's Rose and Kurt's dad's name?
Not important. We're calling him dad.
All right. Can we name him?
Yeah. What do you want to name him?
Paul?
Yeah.
Paul.
Great.
Paul, okay.
I love Paul. Rose's dad.
Paul and Deb. Deb is Paul's wife, not Rose's mother.
Exactly. And the only thing you need to know about Deb is that they both, Kurt and Rose, refer to Deb as dad's wife and never stepmom.
Zing. That's going to leave a mark. I've read r/ AITA.
This feels important.
And this comes up a lot, let me tell you.
Okay. I've written this all down. I feel visually prepared for more information.
I like that you're both taking notes. You're very prepared to continue the story. Okay.
We are.
Car pulls in. Rose is like so excited because she's like, oh my God, all my favorite people are here, right? It's my wedding weekend. My whole family's here. Great. She like basically barrel rolls out of this car. Kurt's dog comes like running out to greet her and she's like, this is the best day of my life. She's getting her face licked by the dog. She's petting the dog. The dog's in the best mood. Everything's great. She hugs Kurt. She's like, how is everything? And Kurt's like, well, Deb's not here yet. And Rose is like, okay, I mean, that's fine. We're not leaving for dinner for like another couple hours. Like, isn't that okay? And Kurt's like, yeah, but dad told me that Deb does not want the dog to be here when she gets here.
And this is Kurt's dog. Okay.
Kurt's dog.
Okay.
How do you feel about this?
It's my wedding, not my fucking problem. Like, okay, then like, don't talk to me about it.
First of all, Kurt, I think that if there's one thing we all know about attending weddings is that you can't bring large structural problems about the wedding itself to the bride. So that's not good judgment on Kurt's part. But the other thing is I would say about Deb, you need to probably get that worked out before it arrives. Like, and then you have to decide. I feel like Kurt and Deb need to figure out who's not staying in the house versus like, you know, figuring it out in this moment.
Rose is also like, Deb's never met the dog. So, like, how does Deb know that she doesn't want this dog here? And Kurt's like, well, Dad says that Deb thinks that dogs are dirty.
Again, this just does not feel like a conversation for Rose.
The bride.
This moment. Mm-hmm. And Rose. But, again, knowing what we know about Rose, not stressed about being 3 hours late to her own wedding weekend, it's like, yeah, I'm also kind of, not to be judgmental, but I guess I'm being judgmental, kind of not surprised that this is now coming to a head at mm-hmm. this time.
Yes.
Because these are big details that should have been figured out. Like, Deb's opinion about dogs, like, sort of not necessary, unfortunately, coming into play because you brought your dog.
Yes.
It's just like, okay, well, is the dog specifically invited to the wedding? Like, this whole thing just kind of feels like superfluous drama.
Yes. That is the theme of today's episode. Superfluous drama. Rose
My
is
blood
like,
pressure.
Rose is like, we're in the middle of nowhere. There's nowhere for this dog to go. Like, it's not like we're somewhere where there's, like, nice dog boarding or we can get on Rover and find someone to take the dog for the evening. Like, Rose is like, the dog is our friend. I want the dog here. The dog stays. Kurt's like, great, thank you. This problem is now solved, right? Kurt's like, there's also some drama with the rooms.
Kurt is an agent of chaos.
Heather, his wife, is like, this is not a thing that she needs to deal with. Like, this is not her problem.
Heather, also the maid of honor. So that's sort of her job anyway.
Heather's like, I will show Rose to her room. Stop bothering her with these problems. Like, we will take care of it. And Rose is like, okay, great. So Heather, like, shows her into this, like, beautiful big room. It's like the primary suite. It has a big bath. And Rose is like, oh, my God, so nice of you to, like, save this for me. It's so nice. And Heather's like, well, one, it is your wedding. And two, you getting this room is the only thing that anyone could agree on. And Rose is like, what? And Heather's like, oh, yeah, there's been drama over everything so far. And Rose is like, what else did I miss? And Heather's like, well, we also don't have any coffee.
Oh, my God. See, now this is why you don't book a wedding weekend with your entire nuclear family in a house.
Everyone thinks it's a good idea, but no one wants to be the email baron. No one wants to be the person who 2 months ago is like, okay, I talked to the property manager and we have to bring our own coffee and there's going to be like, no, this. And I asked for the layout of the rooms and we're all going to look at the room.
So this is the exact problem, is that Rose's whole like modus operandi of this whole thing is that she's like, I'm a chill bride.
That means, like, everything becomes everyone else's problem. Is that what being a chill bride is?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it means. Yeah, no such thing.
She's like, I don't want to be a bridezilla. I don't want to be crazy about everything. But because she's like, I want to be chill, quote unquote chill, what means is that nothing is planned correctly.
Oh, my God. I'm going to lose my mind. Yeah.
Rose and her fiance booked this house and gave people the dates and were basically like, see you there. Like, can't wait. So people this whole first day have been running into things that are forgotten, right? Like there's no wine opener. There are no candles. There isn't a good knife
not.
In the kitchen, right? Like there's
of
nothing.
Of course there isn't.
Is this how Rose is in life? Is she out here just like not planning things and hoping they work out?
It seems that way, yeah.
Because I feel like in that case, people, are like, you know what? Like, Rose is kind of like this and also is on one about wanting to be a chill bride. So we should probably, like, get some of this sorted out, you know?
Yeah. Something I have learned as someone who is extremely not chill is that people who are not chill find each other. Families of people operating this way that I just have no knowledge of.
You're so right.
I would much rather be in a room with like 15 alphas all trying to out alpha each other with our spreadsheets than be anywhere near this family. I'm so sorry. This would lose.
Both of you already are
we're
like
so triggered.
So tense.
We're
like
both so triggered.
You're both like, no.
I cannot even handle this. This is like my nightmare.
Luckily, this family did know well enough to be like, there's no way we're going to be able to make dinner for 15 people in this kitchen. So they have made reservations for dinner.
Okay. Well, that's something.
So everyone's like, okay, we need to get ready. Like, we have to leave in like 30 minutes to get to dinner on time. So everyone's like doing their stuff, getting ready when they hear the car in the drive. New car in the drive. Deb is here.
Hurricane Deb, am I right?
Hurricane Deb. And Kurt is like holding the dog back by the collar, right? Deb comes up, she hugs Rose, she hugs Heather, and then she's like, oh my God, the dog, I've been dying to meet him. He's so beautiful. And she's like on the ground petting the dog.
I knew the dad was blaming her for this. I knew the dad was like airing his opinion about the dog, but blaming Deb.
You think
Deb.
This is the dad
That's what
problem.
It seemed like.
I think this is a liar Deb problem. Deb's like... I think Deb is like a fake up front, and then behind everyone's back, she's like, tell them to get the fucking dog out of here. And I'm like, fucking, oh my God, the dog!
Now, that's interesting. I think the dad doesn't want to be around the dog, but wants to blame
Call him by his name, Sally. His name is Paul.
Sorry, Paul.
Rose is like, whatever. Honestly, Deb's happy. The dog gets to stay. That's what I wanted. Sure. She goes back to like fixing her makeup, right?
Mm-hmm.
She hears Heather in the hall, right? Like, you know when you, like, don't have something and you're in a big house, you, like, stick your head out and are like, does anybody have whatever?
Yes.
Heather, like, sticks her head out and she's like, does anybody have a hair straightener? I forgot my hair straightener.
I don't know. Caroline knows what that means, but I don't know what it means.
You can't wait.
Okay, sorry, right. I am. Okay, for those who can't see me, and that is 100% of people listening right now, waving my hand. I'm just like, I'm done. If I could walk away right now. Yeah, no, Heather. No one has a hair straightener.
Why is it bad that Heather doesn't have a hair straightener?
Because bring your own hair straightener. She needs one. She needs one, and she is
B-Y-O-H-S.
Someone else.
Okay.
Sally, what team are you on?
Okay. Got it. Okay. No, I just didn't understand if there's something special at it being
no,
a hair straightener.
No, it's just more like Heather also seemed to... she illustrated earlier that she understands sort of like who's she's dealing with here. So you for all intents and purposes, the most
competent
put together,
yeah.
competent person. You think you now that you've forgotten the hair straightener, someone's like, oh yeah, no, I definitely brought the hair straightener. Rose was 3 hours late to her own wedding weekend. No one has a hair straightener. I'm throwing my hand. I cannot even deal with this. I cannot even deal with this.
Caroline has thrown down her microphone and has walked
She's
out
leaving.
Of the frame.
I'm about to walk into traffic. I can't deal
it's
with
it. It's just me and Sally now. Bye, Caroline.
Bye. See ya. It's been fun.
Rose is like, I didn't bring a hair straightener. I only have a curling iron. Deb is like, oh, I have a straightener. She's like, Heather, I have one in my bag. I can leave it in our Jack and Jill bathroom. And Rose is like, you're sharing a bathroom with Dad and Deb? And Heather's like rolling her eyes. She's like, unfortunately, yes, that is the way the rooms shook out. So this problem is at least solved. Heather does Fine. Rose's nails. They're ready to go on time. Heather's hair is straight. She looks so nice. Everyone is happy. Rose is like, I never would have gotten this moment of like Heather doing my nails and these people bonding if I had micromanaged everything. Like being a chill bride is really paying off.
No, fuck you. No, that's not what being a chill bride. Okay. Yep. Okay. Continue.
I want better for Rose. I want better for Rose.
People just don't understand what chill bride means, and that's not it.
They go to dinner at like a farm to table restaurant where all of the plates are like really small vegetables, right? Like tiny plate of beautifully made vegetables. Great.
Love that.
Delicious. Everyone eats it. They're all like, this is incredible. We love it. But this is a very light dinner. And wine has been flowing very quickly. So everyone is tipsy by the time dinner is over, right?
Okay.
This is fine. The dinner goes great. But the plan, Rose's plan, was to go to dinner and then to go to a local bar where Rose wanted to like sit and have a nightcap and everyone just gab.
Now, Kelsey, was that the plan or was that something Rose just thought of one day and said to nobody?
That one.
All right, carry on. Mm-hmm.
They get there. The bar is packed. Like sardines packed because this night of the week is karaoke night. So there's like barely room to stand, much less to like sit and have your little nightcap. Your parents are there. It's your wedding weekend. You're a little bit tipsy. The bar is packed. Do you want to stay?
Absolutely not. I don't want to stay at a packed bar under any circumstances.
So what are you going to do instead?
Go back to the house, but get on our jammies, have some tea, play Trivial Pursuit. What are you talking about? Like, hang out in the house.
Rose is like, well, let's just go in and see. So they go in, they make it like two songs, and everyone is like, this sucks. We hate it. It's not fun here. And they're like, okay, we'll go back to the house. They get back and Rose is like clearly grumpy, right? She's like not having a good time. She's not having fun. And the dad is like, in an effort to help, he's like, I will make cocktails for everyone. I'm going like dad cocktail mode. And famously, dad cocktails are 3 to 4 times stronger than regular cocktails. So he's making cocktails for everyone and handing them out. And everyone is getting like drunker and drunker and drunker. What do you think that these people should do? They're all just sitting around having drinks. They're a little bored. They have no activity.
Man, getting wasted face with family on an empty stomach when your other plans got canceled just sounds like a recipe for disaster, especially because everything started out with conflict. I feel like there might be
something fighting. Sally, I need to interrupt you. Their plans didn't get canceled. They didn't have plans to begin with. They showed up to a bar and we're like,
excuse
oh my God, I can't believe it. People in a bar on a Friday night town where there's probably one bar. I can't believe it. How could this have happened? You know what I'm doing? I'm getting the dog and I'm going back to the city.
You're not staying anymore. You're done here.
I mean, no, my real answer, the thing that I'm thinking in my head is I'm getting the dog and I'm going back to the city. And what I might be doing is going for a good long cry in the Jack and Jill bathroom. What I'm actually doing is like, am I also drunk? I ask as a sober person in this situation. Am I a person who can drink and is drunk?
Sure. Yeah.
I just can't think of anything that's like less me than like, oh, she's drunk and there have been no plans. Like, you're just like you could not. This is the least Caroline scenario I can think of. I think I would try to organize some sort of game.
Yes. Similarly to Sally's like initial thesis, which was like Trivial Pursuit, sit at home.
Yeah.
Kurt is like, what if we played Pictionary?
Sure.
So he gets out like the you know, paper or whatever that they need to play Pictionary. It's family. It's a wedding, which means that the Pictionary is entirely inside jokes, right? Like someone is drawing like 3 lines and another person is like, that's the lake we went to as kids.
That's funny. Yeah. I think now I'm into it.
Someone draws one circle and someone's like, that's a glass eye, obviously. Someone draws a bear and Kurt is like, that's Kevin James's 2001 comedy special, Sweat the Small Stuffs, clearly.
Sure. Yeah. And everyone knows it. Yeah.
Everyone knows it except for Deb. Deb
already Deb's kind like, of an outsider as because she's referred to as
she's
Paul's
like,
wife.
I don't get any of these jokes. I have no idea what's going on. Even more frustratingly, like Rose's fiance's parents, they're somehow getting these jokes, right? Like they're involved. Everyone's getting it except for me.
Aww.
She's like, this sucks. Finally, it's Heather's turn to draw. Heather gets up there and she draws like a stereotype of a woman, right? Like a triangle body with legs and arms. And she draws a little head and then she draws like very like a poofy hair outline with like little frizzy pieces. And Paul is like, Deb. And Heather's like, yes, good.
Paul. Oh, my God. No. Heather. Oh, God.
When everyone starts gossiping about you, it doesn't feel good. So even though I think like anyone outside of this story can be like, who cares? You know, what? Deb, meh, she never gets anything. Like if I were Deb, especially after all this, I would already be like so sad. Heather really should have known better. And also, Deb lent her the straightener. So to like go for her hair, her frizzy hair.
It's rude. Bitch. Your Rose in this scenario, Deb is clearly mad. Heather, your maid of honor / sister-in-law, has made this rather rude joke. Do you want to do something about this? Do you want to leave it? Like, what's your move here?
As Rose, right?
Mm-hmm. As Rose.
I think maybe say like, all right, let's keep things fun and cute and move on to the next like round of the game. I think probably just to like keep it moving without making a thing of it.
Do you agree?
I would be like, Heather, you're notoriously the world's shittiest artist. That's not what Deb looks like. I would go full Team Deb. Like, I can't stand when people feel already left out and like then to get like just fucking needled in a stick figure. That is the thing that would have driven me to tears at like a 4th grade sleepover party. So like I would be like, come on, Deb, come on, girl. Like we're gonna like fuck Heather. Man. I would have totally just tried to like rally Deb in. Bring Deb in. Call her in.
The game is like moving fast enough that Rose is like, nobody is sitting with this, right? Like things are moving on. Okay. But after the game, Rose is like on her way to bed. She's like, Heather, like, dude, that's like a little harsh. It's a little far. Like, I know that we don't like Deb, but like she's feeling left out. Like, don't be mean to her. And Heather's like, yeah, you're right. I'm so sorry. Okay. They go to bed. It is now the wedding day. Good morning. Welcome. How do you feel? How do you think this is going to go?
Well, are they hungover? Like, that's the other thing. Like,
certainly, yes. Not only are they hungover, somebody got coffee yesterday, but they got whole bean coffee and there's no coffee grinder.
Dumb fucking family.
That's dumb. That's brutal. I mean,
losers. Dumb.
But here's the thing, though. If you're the kind of person who can roll with this like chill situation.
If you're a chill bride,
then maybe you're the kind of person who like are hungover and there's no coffee and you're like, whatever, like I'll be fine. I am personally not that way, which is why I would never find myself in that situation. But perhaps people who are more chill brides than I have been known to be would be okay with it. I mean, are they upset that they're hungover and there's no coffee?
Rose is like, they're chill riding it. They're like, Dad will go to the Walmart that's 45 minutes away and return with coffee grounds.
Oh, they're not chill briding it. They're making Paul go do it.
So Paul goes to get the coffee. Meanwhile, like, people are beginning to get ready because this is a wedding, right? And it's like the only thing that Rose has done a good job of is hiring a photographer well enough in advance and like giving them instructions. Rose is like, the only thing I care about is photos. Right. That is like the one thing she's not chill about.
Fine. Would we say not chill or just the one email she sent? And honestly, I just take offense as like being a planner means you're not chill. I don't know. Like, this is obviously I feel honestly this is a personal affront to me.
I'm sorry that Rose is hurting you in this way. But if, you don't know
physically,
her.
Mentally, emotionally, spiritually and sexually. Yeah, I am hurt. But mind, body, and soul. Okay, so she's like, oh, this is the only thing she hasn't been chill about. She hired someone for her fucking wedding. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great job, Rose.
So she's like, we have to get ready. I'll have these photos forever. Like, the photos are really important to me. Okay. So the whole bridal party, which is like half the house, is in Rose's room, like, getting ready. They're doing hair and makeup. They're gabbing. They, like, keep running into things they don't have. Right? Like, there's no waterproof mascara. There's no setting spray. Deb is like, just hairspray your face. And everyone's like, no.
Just set your makeup.
Deb is a woman of the 80s. You don't have to tell me anything else about her.
Deb, you are a wild woman.
Deb's a woman of the 80s. Just spray Aquanet on your face. That's great.
There's like plenty of time before the wedding, but you're missing all these things. And there's like not a Sephora. You're like out there. What do you do?
I guess go back in time and plan my wedding is not an option here.
No.
Okay, so you're missing all these things, but you're not telling us, Kelsey, like, what's the vibe of, oh, man, there's no waterproof mascara. So, like, what's the vibe when that sentence is uttered?
Yes. So the vibe at first is, like, it's fine, we'll make it work, right? Okay. Like, everyone's kind of like, this is chill, it's fine. But as the list is, like, growing, people are like, actually, this is a lot of things. Like, you can't make it work if you have no ingredients.
Okay, well, what I would do is I would delegate one person, Heather probably, because she's the maid of honor, or like someone equally as close, with a list 45 minutes out to the Walmart to get the things that we need. And I guess if I determined all of these things to be priority, I would delegate someone to go out and get these things with my goddamn veil between my legs.
What do you think, Sally?
Oh, that was good. I guess I feel like if I was chill briding it and that this was going to be my whole thing, I would hopefully, when all this shit happens, be able to maintain that spirit of being like, well, you know, I said I was just going to be a chill bride, so I'm just going to be a chill bride now. And I would probably move off of the dance floor onto the balcony. Yeah. I'm speaking metaphorically now. Get up on the balcony, look at the situation, and say to the people in my wedding, look, I know we're all missing a bunch of stuff. I really wanted this to just be like low key. If everyone can just like do the best they can with what they have and what they don't have, that would be awesome. Let's just focus on like having a fun time together.
So this is the problem, is that Rose is like, whatever, we'll make it work. Like if the cake that we made is only made of sugar, that's a pile of sugar that we can eat and it'll be fine, right? Like she's like, whatever. But the other people are like, this is extremely not fine. And so Heather is like, no, we need all of these things. Like not only do we need blotting papers and waterproof mascara and all this stuff, but like we don't have ribbon for the bouquets, right? We don't have enough booze, right? Like we don't have the sparklers for the send-off, right? We're missing all of these things. So Heather is like, Paul, here is your list. We have attached photos with the list so that you know exactly what to get. Please go off into the land of stores and return with these things.
Here's where I disagree with this. If you are the bride and it's your wedding and all the way up until this day, you're like, I don't care. And when all these things go wrong, your attitude is still, I don't care. Then we're all good. Like, it's not anyone else's job to decide you have to care about this stuff. She's telling you she doesn't care. If you wanted blotting papers, you need to take care of yourself, Heather.
I like how quickly you've pivoted.
Oh, I mean, no, the thing that would have really gotten my goat is the chill brides being like, I'm chill. And then having these like expectations are set and could only be possible with planning.
Yes.
But if you're a bride who's like, I don't actually care about ribbons for the bouquets, I'll just hold the flowers. I don't really care about the cake. I don't care if the DJ plays the wrong song. It's your wedding. I'm just here. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Yes.
Like, that's how I feel. But as long as you can stay consistent, I think, like, more power to you. But Heather then should have been, like, not surprised that any of this wasn't done.
Yes. Heather sends Dad to the store. And Deb is like, I don't want him to go to the store. He's going to be gone for 4 hours. And then I'm going to be like stuck here by myself with all of you. And Heather's like, well, if he doesn't want to go, he doesn't have to go. And Dad's like, I love a job. Off I go to the store. Right? Like, Dad's going away.
Classic.
Goodbye, Paul.
Classic Dad.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Whatever. They're getting ready. The photographer shows up. They're making do without the stuff they don't have. In the afternoon, Deb comes into the like room where they all are looking frazzled. And she's like, I need to talk to Heather. Rose is like, OK, talk to Heather. She talks to Heather. She goes away. She comes back like 2 hours later and she's like, the boys don't know where to place their boutonnieres.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. Deb and Heather had a conversation.
Yes.
For 2 hours.
No, briefly. And then she left.
Briefly. And then Deb left. OK.
And then Deb returned and was like, we have another problem.
I see.
Which is the boutonnieres.
Okay.
Do you know how to put on boutonnieres?
Yes.
Either of you?
No, but I feel like I would just Google it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't seem that hard. What do you know about it, Caroline? Tell me.
You pin a flower onto your lapel.
So the problem is there are two places to pin it, right? You can pin it lower on the lapel or you can pin it higher. Deb is like, the men of this house don't know which place to put their little boutonniere.
This weaponized incompetence. I'm sorry.
Now I see what you mean about superfluous drama. Yeah. There are just too many.
This is like
there are too many people in this story who are starting shit, who are like agents of chaos.
Yeah.
Like Deb, respectfully, figure it the fuck out.
So Heather and Deb cannot agree on this. Deb goes to get two of the like groomsmen and she brings them back with the lapels, like with the boutonnieres pinned in different places on the lapels, and she puts them in front of Rose and she's like, choose. Rose is like, let them do whatever they want. These are basically the same. I do not care. Rose is like, great, problem solved, chill bride for the win. I did it. But then like an hour later, Deb comes back and is like whispering with Heather about something. And Rose is like, what is this about? And Heather's like, oh, she just like doesn't like how the boutonnieres look. Like, don't worry about it.
And doesn't like them? Deb. Okay.
And Rose is like, okay, I won't worry about it. Doesn't seem like a problem to me. Not my problem. About an hour before the wedding, Dad returns with all the things they need. Dad is a hero. Everyone claps for him.
Yay, Paul.
He comes to find her and hugs her, right? Heather immediately goes up to him, unpins his boutonniere, and pins it a different way. And Rose is like, please stop. Like, leave the boutonnieres alone. No one cares. We get to the wedding. The wedding goes fine. Everything goes fine. The only problem is that in the end, Heather switching dad's boutonniere meant that his looked different than everyone else's. After the ceremony, Rose is like, I want my big family photo. Like, I feel so happy. This is so great. They all get together. They like take their photo. She's like, we did it. There's dancing and dinner. The sparklers work. They go away for the night at a hotel. Rose is like, this is so sweet. Everything turned out exactly how I wanted. Rose is like, everyone says that weddings are chaos, but there was only this like tiny minor boutonniere drama. Yeah. Everyone had a great time. I pulled it off. I was a chill bride. How are we feeling?
You were a chill bride, I guess. I'm feeling not great, Kelsey. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not feeling good.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you were a chill bride. I just think behind every chill bride is someone with a fucking spreadsheet. And we can't all be a chill bride. And we can't all be a spreadsheet person. But weddings are a lot of things. All right. Pull up to my TED Talk.
Okay.
Weddings are a lot. All right. Sure. Weddings are a lot of things. What they are not are sort of events that you can play by ear. Because what I'm already gaining by the clues and information you've told me is that it is a wedding weekend because people had to travel up to a different house that no one lives in. They rented this house, and that there are guests outside of the people in this house at the wedding.
Yes.
When you do that, you owe people who are giving you a weekend of their life to celebrate you, you owe them some details. You had enough time and wherewithal to rent the house. You had enough time and wherewithal to pick the weekend that you were going to get married. Everyone in your family knew the date. So information did have to be shared on that plane. If you want to just invite everyone over to your backyard and be like, chill bride, we're getting married. Like, someone's here. And then like, okay, like we got like, you know, someone's on the grill and we're doing burgers and like, great. Amazing. You can't have like two different events
at once
existing as one and feel like this is I'm glad that Rose, because it's like her wedding, she walked away from this feeling like, I was a chill bride. Like, yes, it's important to have enjoyed your own wedding, I guess, but like I would want my guests to have a good experience. It would be really difficult for me to like let go and let God LG squared, because I don't know. Like, I'm already like asking so much of people. Like, maybe you have to take off work on Friday to get up there for the dinner. Like, you know, like you want to show up and be like, oh, I was thought of. We're here and like, we're doing the thing that you wanted us to do, whether that's eating burgers barefoot in the backyard or getting full black, you know, black tie and dancing till whatever. I'll do what you want me to do, but please communicate it to me ahead of time. I guess that's my thought. So I don't
Sally,
know.
Sally, how do you feel at this moment in time?
I think pretty similar to Caroline. I think that, like, you know, when you want to be a chill bride, even if, you know, other people know that that's like what your deal is going to be, you are still asking them to partake in a kind of event that is usually associated with a lot of advanced planning and a lot of things being like figured out. And so even if like the people you're inviting are like buying in, they still are going to like be like, but wait, where's the ribbon for the bouquet and where are the sparklers and this, you know, I think that this is like one of those moments where you think you're doing a chill thing and it's actually, you're just sort of like inflicting your weird psychodrama on everyone around you. And then everyone else has to like cope with it.
I think we also have to remember that like chill bride is, and I say this as somebody who literally like co-wrote a book about the idiosyncrasies of bachelorette party planning. Just, it's not about being chill or not chill. Like, you didn't plan your wedding and now I'm here at your wedding. Like, that's what I can't reckon with. But like, you know.
So Rose leaves the wedding like feeling happy and like great. Her. Right? She's like, this went great. Everyone had a good time. Whatever.
This went great. Okay.
Everyone every day I log on to TikTok, the app, and I scroll for 100 years, and I watch 15 different women, all with perfect skin, tell me about what they do to their skin. And all of them have like 45 products, and they all are so beautiful, and I'm so envious of them. Finding skincare products that actually work for you is so complicated, and that's why we're so excited to partner with Apostrophe, the sponsor of this episode. Apostrophe's goal is to help you feel confident in your own skin, whether you're dealing with breakouts, signs of aging, or acne scarring. Apostrophe is an online platform, and what they do is they connect you with an expert dermatology team, and then you talk to them, and you're like, here are all of my problems, and then the dermatology team helps you figure out what you need for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. For example, I have a spot on my face. Where did it come from? I don't know. I'm 32 now. So I asked the doctor that Apostrophe connected me with, and they gave me some really excellent advice, including to switch the soap I was using to wash my face and to use this really nice retinol that they sent over. And then afterward, you know, a little box arrived from Apostrophe, and it was so cute, and it was all well branded, and you know, I love that stuff. We have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/gossip when you use our code GOSSIP. That's a savings of $15, and this code is only available to our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/gossip and click Get Started. Then use our code GOSSIP at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had like 4 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me that I was paying for so many more than that. And in fact, you know, I've been using Rocket Money for months now to get rid of my subscriptions. And this month, it found a new one. And I was like, where did this even come from? And then it turned out that I had been paying for it for 10 months. Love that for me. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the subscriptions I forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year, ooh, when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/gossip. That's rocketmoney.com/gossip. rocketmoney.com/gossip. So, you know how it takes like a few weeks to get the photos back? Like you don't get them immediately. It takes like 8 weeks for Rose to get the photos back. And she's like so excited. She's like, this is great. She has Kurt and Heather come over to like look at them with her. They're like oohing and aahing. They look great. She's like, this is so, I'm so happy. Heather like has to go somewhere. So she leaves. And Rose is like, okay, Kurt, like since we're both here, I think we should pick one of these photos of like all of us together to give to Dad and Deb like for the holidays. Cute little gift, right? And Kurt is like, Rose, we cannot use any of these photos. And Rose is like, what? Like, why? And Kurt like kind of sighs and puts his head in his hands. And he's like, has anyone told you? And Rose is like, told me what? And Kurt is like, do you know about the drama? And Rose is like, yeah, the boutonniere drama. And Kurt is like, no, the straightener drama.
Oh, my God. That was like 10 dramas ago.
And Rose is like, what? I don't know anything about this.
I can't even
and
breathe.
And Kurt is okay. Like, okay, we have to go back to the beginning. What do you remember about the beginning of the wedding?
They didn't have coffee.
No coffee.
They didn't have coffee. And Heather pokes her head out and says, did anyone bring a straightener? And Deb said, you can use mine.
I thought that was the night before.
That was the night before, but it's relevant.
Okay.
Okay. She left it in the Jack and Jill bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Dad's going to the store, right? There's no mascara.
Right.
Then Dad leaves, right?
Yeah.
Deb came to talk to Heather. What did she come to talk to her about?
The boutonnieres and the
Wrong.
Placement. Oh.
The boutonniere and the placement is what Rose thought they were talking about.
Oh.
Was the straightener in Paul's car?
No. The straightener was missing. Something that Rose didn't notice is that when Deb showed up, she was like, her hair was wet because she had just taken a shower and she was like wearing a robe and she was like 2 steps from a nervous breakdown.
And during Pictionary, Heather drew frizzy hair.
Yes. And so she asked Heather, like, where's my straightener? And Heather's like, I don't know. I don't have it. And Deb is like, your hair is literally straight. Like, I can see it. And Heather's like, yeah, but that's from yesterday. Like, I'm doing an updo today. I didn't wash it. Okay. And Deb is like, but you had it last. And like, your hair is so smooth. Like, where did you put it? And Heather's like, well, I put it in the Jack and Jill bathroom. I don't know what to tell you. Rose doesn't know any of that. Rose is living in bliss. Why do you think this is a big deal?
Is that Deb didn't get to do her hair for the wedding?
Yes. And because of the Pictionary thing, right? Deb is like self-conscious.
Right. Heather like called her out about her frizzy hair, then lost her straightener. And then Deb had to go to the wedding with frizzy hair.
Yes.
Now this is becoming like an aggravated assault case.
Yeah. Now there are arrests that have to be made. Okay.
Your Deb, your straightener is missing. There are still many hours until the wedding.
Yeah.
Heather says she doesn't know what it is, where it is.
I'm texting my husband, Paul, and I'm being like, I can't find my straightener. Can you pick one up for me at Walmart?
Wow, that's really resourceful and a great idea.
Or if I were Heather, I'd be texting my father-in-law and saying, I lost Deb's straightener. I have no idea where it is. Can you pick up another straightener? All roads lead to Walmart.
How do you lose a straightener?
You don't.
In less than 24 hours.
There's no way.
So now this makes me think that Heather is up to no good.
Deb is like, no one has left this house except for Paul.
Oh, man, it's a closed-door mystery.
It's a closed-door mystery. She's like, I know it's in this house, right? So, like, where is it?
When, timeline-wise, boutonniere-wise, when was Deb aware of the straightener issue, pre- or post-boutonniere placement?
Pre-boutonniere placement. Okay, so it's like before the conversation, Deb knows that the straightener is missing.
Okay.
So Deb is like, you know who doesn't have anything to do at a wedding? These groomsmen. They're just like drinking booze.
Yeah, scratching their balls.
They can have a job. So she goes to the groomsmen and she's like, I need your help. I am missing something. We are on a quest to find my hair straightener. And the groomsmen are like, okay, got it. They're like looking around the house. They're bringing things back. They're bringing back like an iron for clothing. Right. And they're like, will this work?
Yeah, okay.
And she's like, no. They're bringing back like one of those terrible hair dryers that they have at hotels. And they're like, could this help?
This is like when you do Instacart and you're like, I need a lemon. And they're like, they're out of lemons. And then they send a picture of a cantaloupe. And you're like, no, I don't. Just give me nothing then. Okay. Yes. So they don't even know what they are looking for.
No. They're bringing like a portable steamer. And they're like, could this help? For this does unwrinkling, right? Could this help with your hair? And Deb is like, that's literally the opposite of what that would do. Like, no. She's like, this is not working. This is like a collection of buffoons. I feel like I'm trying to explain a card trick to a dog. Like, she's like, it looks like tongs, right? She's like, tongs. We're looking for tongs. The groomsmen come back with literal like kitchen tongs. They're like, these? She's like, oh my God. Like,
very Amelia Bedelia.
She's like, I hate all of you. Yeah. Go away. They're all now disheveled because they have been looking around. And so she repins their boutonnieres. And this is where the problem starts. Because she couldn't remember where they were supposed to be pinned. What do you do if you're Deb?
Hang in there.
Deb's the one that repinned the boutonnieres?
Yes. The first time that got them into this trouble of like, where do they go?
Oh, okay. Okay, I guess if I'm Deb, I'm just going to say, like, I'm going to make my best guess with the boutonnieres. And, like, if they need to be moved, they need to be moved. Boutonnieres are famously
easily movable.
Yeah, the whole thing is that you can take them off and put them back on again. So I feel like it shouldn't be the end of the world if it has to be moved.
But what about your straightener, which you still can't find?
Yeah, I mean, that's a toughie. So, I don't really know how it works with, like, you have long hair and you want it to be straight. It's not – so what is it if it's not straight, like curly?
Frizzy.
I'm like one of the groomsmen.
Not even curly. You know, if you have really nice curly hair, it's more about the frizz. It's more about, like, kind of what my hair looks like right now, like up at the top. Like, I could never, like, go – like, basically, I have, like, you know, half-dried out-of-shower hair. Like, things in different directions. Things are sticking up. There's, like, little creases from, like, a clip or whatever. So I couldn't go to, like, a formal event. It would look like I didn't care. It would look like I didn't try.
Okay, so you – it's, like, you either straighten your hair or you, like, don't go to the event. Is that the deal?
No, there's other options. Even if they're not like on the top of the, like, I could slick my hair back into a ponytail. I could put it in like a bun. There's other ways to do it.
That's what I would do. I think I would just be like, let me just cut my losses. I don't have the time to like look for this straightener. Let me just like get it looking as good as it can with what I have on hand. If I didn't do my first choice, which was text Paul and yeah. be like, get me a straightener.
You are both very resourceful, much more resourceful than Deb. Deb is like, she has that feeling, you know, that you have sometimes when you're like a kid and you're like, I know that the thing is here, but I can't see it.
She's yeah. totally fixated on looking. It. Yeah.
And if I ask my mom to come look, she'll see it immediately.
Yeah.
Right? Totally. And so she's like, I don't want to make Heather come out of the bridal room and in here to help me find it because she'll see it immediately. But I need someone else to help me find it. So she goes to Kurt and she's like, Kurt, please. I think that the straightener is in this bathroom or in your room with Heather. Like, can you help me find it? So Kurt and Deb are tearing apart the bathroom. They're pulling things out. They're putting things away. They cannot find it. Kurt is finally like, I cannot do this anymore. I have things to do. Here's a blow dryer and like not even a round brush, but just like a brush. Like, good luck. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Deb is now on her own. She's like very upset. The light in the bathroom is terrible. Her hair is frizzy. She has to dry it because the wedding is like coming. Miserable. Dad comes in. He's sweaty, grumpy. He changes fast. He runs out to say hi to Rose. He comes back in and sees Deb is really upset. And he's like, what's wrong? And Deb is like still blow drying her hair. And he's like, I can't hear you. And she's like, your son and his wife stole my straightener. I told you they all hated me. And here is your proof. They want me to look bad at this wedding. They want me to look like that drawing that Heather did of me. He's like, do you want me to go get them? Do you want to talk to them? What do you want to do? And Deb is like, I can't talk to them. I am behind schedule. My hair looks insane. Dad is like trying to save this situation. He's like, do you want to go to the bridal room and talk to them? Do you want to do this? And Deb is like, I can't go to the bridal room. They hate me. And then she looks at him and she's like,
boy,
did Heather fix your boutonniere? And the dad's like, yeah. Heather had switched everyone's boutonniere to be at the same height, right? Like, she switched Dad's when he came to hug Rose. She switched all the groomsmen. So everyone had the same height, which was the height that Heather had chosen. But then when Dad went to comfort Deb, Deb was like, oh, this isn't the right place because it wasn't the same spot that she had pinned the groomsmen boutonnieres. And so she moved it. And that's why his was wrong.
Because Deb repinned it.
She sabotaged?
Repinned it.
On
or she thought she fixed it.
No.
That's up to you.
Deb sabotaged. Deb sabotage. And honestly, go off, Deb. This whole thing is like, all these people need therapy. They need a big glass of water. They all need a nap.
They need a wedding planner. Deb puts her hair up in like a slicked little bun, but it's like still frizzy, right? Like, it's so frizzy anyway. She like can't do it. She goes and sits down at the wedding. She's like looking at everyone come down the aisle. And she, like, can't help it. She's looking at Heather walk down the aisle, and she's, like, looking at her little half-up, half-down hair, and she's, like, her hair is so straight. Like, it's so smooth. She's, like, there's no way that she didn't straighten it.
Oh, my God.
Dastardly.
She's, like, standoffish the whole wedding. She's so mad. Rose's new in-laws are like, I love that you wore your hair naturally. It's so brave. It's so bold. And Deb is like, I can't do this. Kurt comes to get her for the family photo after the wedding. And she's like, I don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to take the photo. No, thank you. And Kurt's like, you have to come take the photo. Come take the photo. So she like goes in a huff, takes the photo. Kurt and Rose are now looking at this photo in the present time. The only person smiling in the whole photo is Rose. She has the biggest smile on her face. Everyone else around her is miserable. Kurt's like, look at Heather. Look at Deb's hair. Look at my face. And they all just like look so sad. He's like, you can't give this present to Dad for Christmas. Deb will take it as evidence that you hate her.
Yeah, she will.
And Rose is like, okay, that's fair. I won't give it to her for Christmas. But did Heather take the straightener? Did Heather hide it? And Kurt's like, no. And Rose is like, are you sure? And Kurt's like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure. She's my, like, wife. And Rose is like, well, did they find it? Like, where is it? You know how Airbnbs have all kinds of, like, weird checkout rules that are annoying?
Uh-huh.
The next morning, everyone was, like, cleaning up, packing up the house. Rose was obviously not doing this because she was somewhere else at her, like, little B&B being chill. There were clean towels stacked on top of the dryer, and Kurt took them to put them back in the little, like, closet. And the closet is like near the bathroom, but not in the bathroom. And at the top of the, he puts them up there and his hand like brushed something. And he pulls from the very top shelf the straightener.
So someone had used it and put it on the very top shelf.
Someone had put it on the very top shelf.
Like seeming like kind of in a nefarious, I don't want someone to find this type of way.
Well, that's what I'm posing to you. I think that there are four people that could have done this.
No one has mentioned that maybe the dog did it, but okay.
Or the dog. Four people and the dog who could have done this.
Okay.
Who would you like to start with? What are your feelings? Who are you leaning toward?
I don't think Heather hit it. I also think Heather did not straighten her hair. I think Deb was in a funk. Deb wanted evidence that Heather took this hair straightener, looked at her hair and was like, it looks really straight to me. I don't think there was like any evidence.
Wait, Sally, do you agree that it's not Heather?
I think it is Heather.
Ugh,
I mean,
couldn't be more wrong. Couldn't be more wrong. Defend yourself.
Because it sounded to me like when Deb was saying to Heather, like, I can't find my straightener. Heather didn't behave the way someone who hadn't hidden a straightener would behave. Like, I think, like, you'd be like, oh, my God, shoot, did I misplace it? Like, let me help you look. I was the last one to use it. Let me help this person find it. But it sounds like Heather was, I guess we don't know exactly, but it seems like Heather didn't stop what she was doing at any point to, like, look for it or anything. I'm leaning Heather for this one.
Yeah. I like where your head's at, Sally. I do. And I want to say I appreciate it and appreciate your input. I actually kind of agree. She didn't act like a because the criminal always returns to the scene. So you'd think that like if she hit it, Heather would be the one throwing off the scent, like looking under the bed, knowing all the while. Oh, yeah, I checked the laundry room. Like, oh, yeah, I checked. Yeah. It's not there. But the other thing that has me kind of like got is that like, Heather's not even a part of this family. These are Heather's in-laws. And then Deb is even another step removed from that. This is her father-in-law's wife.
Yes.
So like what, like I would need to know more about Heather's relationship with Kurt's family. Cause then this seems like if it was Heather, I feel like then this was the plan from Heather all along. Like Heather wanted to sabotage the wedding all along, but she's close enough with Rose to be the maid of honor. You know what I think it is? I think when you hear hooves, it's horses, not zebras kind of thing. I bet at some point, one of the groomsmen brought an option from the laundry room and was told, you fucking idiot. That is not, clearly not a hair straightener.
Yeah.
Felt bad about himself. Went back to the laundry room and just kind of like threw everything else up on the top of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Could it have been Deb? Is there a world in which Deb fakes this whole thing?
Oh.
No.
Now that's interesting.
No one that vain would fake it to the point of looking bad at looking not up to your own personal standards. Yeah. At the wedding of your daughter, of your stepdaughter, who also doesn't give a shit what you look like.
Deb would have to be, like, I think, like a sociopath to do this herself. Pardon my colloquial casual use of that phrase, because I don't think that's, like, diagnostically correct. But, like, to sabotage your own look, I'm too vain for that. Yeah. I wouldn't want those photos out. So
it was Kurt.
You think it's Kurt?
Think about it. Okay. Kurt, married to Heather. Loyalty there. That's that's spousal. What's it called?
Loyalty. Privilege. Spousal privilege.
Right. Spousal privilege. Okay. Kurt's definitely not loyal to Deb. Kurt has as much invested as like the dog being shunned by Deb as Heather does.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves Heather clean. You know, like he did the job for her. The straightener became available to Heather when Heather needed it. The straightener was not available to Deb when Deb needed it. And wasn't it Kurt who found the straightener?
Dun, dun, dun.
Is that your, Sally, what's your final ruling? And then I'll give you the update. You think it's Heather?
You know?
Oh, yeah, of course I know.
Oh, my God. I thought I was just going to have to live with this forever.
So a few months after the wedding, Dad and Deb broke up.
Twist.
And everyone was like, kind of relieved, except for Rose, who was like, now literally all of these photos are useless. Like, thank you so much. So helpful. Nobody can use them because Deb's in all of them. And Do you remember at the beginning of the story when Dad said that Deb didn't want the dog there?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? So Deb never said that.
What did I say? Mm-hmm. I said that.
You said
and
that.
During their breakup, Dad admitted that she was like very overdramatic about the straightener. And Heather was like, well, it makes sense that she was overdramatic about the straightener because I bought that same straightener that she had after the wedding and it rules. Like, I would be mad if I lost it too. And Rose was like, Heather, there's like something weird about the way that you're saying this. Did you steal Deb's straightener? And Heather was like, I mean, I wouldn't say I stole it. Did I hide it? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know that this isn't what this entire thing is about, but I would like to go on record saying I said Deb never said that about the dog.
Yeah, Sally has been on it since the beginning.
That Heather. So listen, I know this isn't a competition, but I did win.
But congratulations,
wait, so
Sally.
How can you be a chill bride when your maid of honor is like this nefarious? This is awful.
I don't want to believe. People? I don't want to believe people are this bad. This is like actually kind of difficult for me to think about. Why would you do that to somebody? It's just not nice.
So this is all we knew for a while. But right before we were supposed to record, we got an email from the person who sent us this in. And they said that they had heard from their friend of a friend that this came from, that Dad and Deb went on a pre-booked vacation to Mexico together after their breakup, and they have gotten back together.
Good.
Wait a second.
See you at Christmas, Deb. Have a happy holiday.
Deb is back.
Till Deb do us part. Yes. Deb, she's back. Team Deb.
Rose is the only person who knows all of this.
That's so not chill.
You call in your local gossip podcast and you tell them the That's the only option. You take this to your grave. This is like the things you have to live with.
You have to live with this secret forever.
I feel like if I'm Rose, I feel like I'm... Well, she can't enter a relationship with Heather, I guess, because Heather's married to her brother. Mm-hmm. All of these people are just, they sound really just chaotic, and I don't understand how they maintain their relationships, like, even outside of this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I think it's a very difficult position to be in, to have Deb returning, knowing this information, because it's like, yeah, you are now in the middle of every problem.
Yeah. Does Deb know, like, that Heather is the one that hid the straightener?
No.
Does Paul?
No. Only Rose knows.
But then how did the dog thing happen? Because who was the one that said Deb doesn't want the dog here?
Dad told
Where Kurt. Did he get that information from? Because Deb never said that.
Yes. So that's the thing, is he made it up because he was planning to break up with Deb the whole time.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, all of these people are monsters.
These are all bad people. You know when you're in elementary school and in gym class and they make you spread out and you have to do airplane arms and you can't hit anybody?
Yeah.
Because you're these are all people who hit people when they're airplane arms. These people all think that their actions don't affect other people.
We are at the very end. Whose side are you on?
Deb.
You're on Deb's side.
I'm on Deb's side too. Yeah, for sure.
Deb is like the only not bad actor in this whole story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, team Deb. But also, Deb, know your worth. Leave Paul. He threw you under the bus about he threw you under the bus about a dog. What else can this man do?
Dump him, Deb.
Dump him, Deb.
Babe, dump him.
Sally and Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a delight to have you.
My day. No, this was incredible. Was a blast. This
that
was really
story
fun.
Had everything. Thank you for that.
This
that
was Knives Out.
Thank you for listening to Normal Gossip. If you have a gossip story to share with us, email us at normalgossip@defector.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 2679-GOSSIP. If you love this podcast and want us to keep making it, become a friend or a friend of a friend at supportnormalgossip.com. You can follow the show on Instagram and TikTok at Normal Gossip. You can follow Kelsey on all social media at McKinney Kelsey. This podcast was produced by Alex Sujon Laughlin. Diana Moskowitz is our story editor. Justin Ellis is Defector's projects editor. Jasper Wang and Sean Kuhn are Defector's business guys. Tom Lay is our editor-in-chief. Jay Tolviera is our production assistant. Dan McQuaid runs our merch store, which you can find at normalgossip.store. Tara Jacoby designed our show art. Thank you to Diana Moskowitz for your help on this episode. Thank you to the rest of the Defector staff. Defector Media is a collectively owned, subscriber-based media company. Normal Gossip is a proud member of Radiotopia. Normal Gossip is hosted by Kelsey McKinney. I'm Crystal Mendoza, and remember, you did not hear this from me.
Radiotopia from PRX.